Hello and welcome back to the Via Church video podcast brought to you by The Bearded Realtor. Anything that you want in a home, James will get you because he can. I think that's his motto.
That's the motto.
That's pretty much what it is. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time. It's been like, I think 100 years since the third podcast.
Yeah, our weekly podcast.
Yeah, and I think that we promised that there would be a podcast four, so we're making good on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can say at least that. We have not been consistent, but we kept our promise to do another one.
Yeah, we haven't been the least consistent, though. I'm sure there's worse.
There's probably worse, but we're not going to talk about that here today. What we are going to talk about, it is officially been 1 year since you have been lead pastor in this church.
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
Correct.
That's absolutely amazing. So I thought we'd just talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah.
I wondered if I could start some conversation. Say, okay, it's been a year. Tell us a bit about, okay, how's that been for you? You've come into this thing.
Yes.
Maybe remind us some of the goals the Lord had.
Sure.
Like given you and where we're at with that in a year.
It's been a great year, I think.
Yeah.
Been really enjoyable. I think our church has really moved forward in a lot of good areas. I think when we, as a staff anyways, were planning this year, the goal was stability.
True.
Not even just project stability.
Yeah.
That's been previous goals, but actually have some stability. And it feels like our church has really stabilized, though.
Yeah.
I think we've... there's a sense of lightness and peace and even excitement starting to brew about what the Lord has for us.
Yeah.
And so when we talked annual plan and AGM last year, I think the goals were primarily to focus on the increase of the presence of God in all of our ministry areas, to increase the sense of community and fun, which via Social Club and Thunderdome has done an amazing job. And then also just growing in the area of mission, that we've been a great discipleship church, but somehow our discipleship didn't always translate into reaching the lost. And so we wanted to take major steps forward in that this year. And I think we've seen some really good fruit.
Yeah, that's great. That's partially where I wanted to go next, is because we just came off of canon and ordinations, and so there was this huge flurry of activity, which is partially why we're not doing things like podcasts. But in that, you start to realize, okay, now it's been a year, we can see that you're zeroing in more on vision, and that is actually mission. It's the advancement of the kingdom of God. And I really wanted to talk about that a bit today, because there's certain stuff you just can't talk about in a sermon. You can give maybe like a theological exposition, but you can't always get into the practicalities and what's difficult about it. So I was hoping that that'd be the majority of our talk today.
Sure.
But it does seem like one of your primary goals as lead pastor is to advance mission.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as I've look through the Gospels and look through scriptures, I mean, right from the very first calling of the disciples was become fishers of men. It was never about just following Jesus to better ourselves, to get our own sense of healing and self-satisfaction, which is all true and available in the Gospel. It was always unto mission. It was always about us tasting and seeing of the goodness of God in order to be that light of the world to the people around us. And so I did feel a significant challenge from the Lord in that, that if our discipleship doesn't actually produce self-sacrifice in the form of encountering those who don't yet know Christ, then we really have to wonder what the fruit of discipleship is.
Yeah.
So I did feel a significant warning in my own life, and I think for the life of the church, that we need to go there. Partly also, I think we just have such exceptional leaders in this church, and a lot of people with incredible callings. And so long as we're only looking inside the church, it's hard to actually feel a sense of release.
Yeah.
I think Rob at one point had about 100 people on his list of leaders in our church, and we have somewhere around 200 people, 200 adults attending it on a weekly basis. And so you have a one-to-one leader to non-leader ratio, which that is not sustainable. And so we have to start thinking, okay, we have people with wonderful gifts, gifts of the Spirit, ministry callings that all can't be sustained within this place. So it has to be then going out.
Yeah, right.
And so I think as we enjoy the fruits of the Spirit, as we see the reality of the gospel in our lives, which should produce joy and hope and faith and love, the natural next step should then be to go out into the world and find those who aren't experiencing those things in Christ and lead them there.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen yet, there's some great teaching now on Vimeo from Canon. Mm-hmm. Your wife did one and Trev did one. They're great primers for mission. But I think we also need to extend a bit beyond that, because I think mission obviously means more than, it doesn't exclude, but more than just evangelism. I think when people hear the word mission, it's just like one of those Christian terms that conjures up what they've thought the whole time, and they picture, okay, I'm gonna have to go up to some stranger and give them a tract or do something like that. But mission is more, it's so much broader and includes just loving people.
Yeah.
And eventually will more than likely lead to this point of sharing the gospel. Of course, it doesn't not include that. Mm-hmm. But I think when people hear mission, they're often like on their heels a bit.
Yeah.
Because they haven't taken into account journey, time, relationship, and some of the real easy primer things that all of us should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could talk about that, like just what's entry level if somebody's like, okay, I want to go from I haven't thought about any kind of mission to I've got to do something.
Yeah, I think my challenge to anyone would be just be fully yourself all the time and fully your Sunday self in some ways, like that person who loves Jesus and is devoted to the gospel and to the Christian faith. Be that at work, be that in your neighborhood. Doesn't mean you're out praising on the street necessarily, but don't shy away from that side of your life.
Yeah.
When I worked years ago at Granite Rocks and was part-time at the church, I was just myself, which meant I was a Christian at work and had many of my coworkers confiding in me, asking my advice. And I found I had the opportunity to either give them moralistic advice or to give them the gospel.
Right.
And too often I probably didn't give them the gospel. But eventually we started to, and we start to just have them into our home. And realizing that me just being who I am, which is a Christian, will inevitably open doors for me to be vulnerable and talk about my faith, which is what people really need. So the text that's always been massive for me is Acts 3. Peter and John on the way to the temple. They have no money, they see the lame man, but what they offer him is Jesus. So the question I ask myself is, what is Jesus in me? And it may not be physical healing, though at times it might be, but sometimes it could just be a gift of empathy or listening or prayer or compassion, acts of service. We all have parts of us that really exemplify and model the person of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus. And so how do we do that in our day-to-day life? So for me, I realize I'm a pastor, and so I have, Jess and I have a few really close non-Christian friends, and for, at the beginning, I think we were a little tentative with them, just trying to be normal friends, and then I realized I'm a pastor through and through, so why would I treat them any differently than I would anyone in our church? So when they'd come over, I would pastor them, which then meant I'd ask them if I could pray for them, and they'd say yes, and so you just start to be yourself.
Yeah.
And found that was the greatest form of mission. It's just me and Jess being us. People wanted to get to know us and to engage with us. And we just were determined to not hide the biggest part of us, which is our Christianity.
Yeah.
Wow. That, I think, is really encouraging. Because I think coming from my background, I probably would have thought that there was people with a gift of evangelism.
Right.
And it was up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else, your job was...
Yeah.
either to pray for those people or to give money to those people,
right.
but that you didn't have any personal responsibility to even, faith could be really private.
Yeah.
And so I do find there is some pushback in terms of backgrounds or real resistance to stepping forward boldly, not hiding who you are, even knowing you might not have theological answers or even answers to the cultural things that people are facing.
Yeah.
But stepping out fully yourself as a Christian is probably enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very similar to you. I would have never considered myself an evangelist. Yeah. Still, the office of evangelist I don't think is me, especially compared to like an Amos or Trevor.
Right.
But I am a Christian.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have Christ in me, which is more than enough. I don't know who it was. Someone I was listening to once said, love is the greatest apologetic there is.
Yeah.
And so we can have all the theological debates, and we can have all the answers to, like you said, cultural questions, but we also just have Christ's love in us. So if we can just love the people around us, they will inevitably see something different and something attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what I've learned is it just actually takes time. So we've had friends for 4 or 5 years that are just starting to open up. And we're not just friends for the sake of getting them into the church.
No.
We actually just genuinely love them.
Yes.
And because we love them, we want to bring them to Jesus.
Yeah.
But that does take time. And so it's a long-term, just love people because who God made them to be, find God in them, and encourage them to be fully alive in who they were meant to be. And I believe for everyone in the world, that's in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm hoping that people will get a bit from this podcast, is when you see mission as bigger, you recognize that Christ is healing the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just start with helping your neighbor out with their marriage. And and some of it is just actually sharing your testimony of what God's done in you. But that's very sacramental, because it means it's less about this thing that you do, that I got to make sure I say these four exact things. And it's more about, like you said, as you're yourself, then what God has done in you is the testimony to them.
Totally,
And so I wonder, you've been already saying this to the congregation in different areas, but I wonder, with people, sometimes it's more about even just restructuring their diary. Like their time is that, am I actually around people so that I am an effect on them?
Yeah.
And I noticed that has been definitely the case for us, is having to look at things and go, man, I'm too busy to be around anyone who needs Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that's a really tough thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's something that we all have to do.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. A couple other questions is around, so summer's coming up, and things generally, they tend to slow down in everybody's world.
Yeah.
I just wonder if you thought about that for this year. What are some things that you could, or that you would want to say to our congregation as we're moving into summer and they're starting to make their summer plans? What do you have for them?
That's a good question.
Uh-huh.
I think to copy Bishop Todd when he was lead pastor, one thing he always reminded this church was, don't let your faith just kind of lessen over this over the summer. I actually take the summer, I quiet down a lot in life, but ramp up my reading, ramp up my devotional life, take advantage of the sun and just pray on your back deck, engage your kids in a deeper level in your spirituality. So I think we can slow down everything, and with that goes our spiritual disciplines, church attendance, devotions. And I actually try to use those months to really ramp that up, to rest in the Spirit of God, to feel a sense of spiritual rejuvenation by the end of the summer as well. And I think in terms of mission, just be available. Right. Take walks in public parks. Jess and I have a new home, and so we don't have fences yet. I shared with our VIA leaders during VIA days, my one neighbor, he's about 25, was upset that we were talking about putting a fence up, because he actually likes just walking over into our yard and hanging out with us on the deck. But part of it was we just always sat on the deck because we knew he was going to come by. And so we just made ourselves more publicly available in a restful way, that we're just lounging in our on our deck, having some drinks, and inviting our neighborhood around with us. And so just don't be so busy that you don't have time to just enjoy the people in your life. And hit two birds with one stone. Involve your church community with your neighborhood community. So we've had New Year's parties where we have the staff over, but then invite some of our non-Christian friends as well, and get them immersed in both worlds. So in the summer, to continue your spiritual disciplines is key. And then where you're going to cut back, fill that space with just being out in the community, be public, take your dog for a walk, say hi to your neighbors, do those kinds of things as church life slows down.
That's great. Anything you can hint at for fall? What's the Lord saying to you? And it's okay if you're like, I'm not going to say anything
about
that.
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm really feeling And we've been talking about this whole podcast. We're really going to ramp up mission. Mm-hmm. So there are some things that Rob and myself and Amos and myself are working on to begin launching next year. But we really want to intentionally start communities dedicated to mission around our city. There's something that the Diocese of the Upper Midwest does called lay catechists and missional communities. Yeah. And we're really praying about how to do that, which is just set up groups around the city that are dedicated to reaching their neighborhood, reaching the lost, and doing catechisms.
Right.
And not in the church. So this is a big step sometimes to go from a home to a church, but to just invite neighbors over to ask their questions, to learn about the gospel and see what develops. Yeah. So that's something that we're beginning to talk about. But in general, I think we're going to stay the course as a church, but we are going to keep ramping up reaching the lost in the city. Yeah.
Just finding ways to go out.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Upper Midwest. It would also be really cool if we could talk a little bit about that. There's such an increase in unity.
Mm-hmm.
So Father Michael McKinnon was here, preached at the ordination.
Yeah, amazing.
And then we got guys from the Upper Midwest. We had guys here from a couple different kinds of churches in Edmonton.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about increasing relationship and unity from within the church?
Yeah, I mean, it's God's doing something.
Yeah.
He's just, I think the trials that this church has gone through have been weathered. And I think we are starting to organizationally walk into a time of resurrected life.
Mm-hmm.
And people are being drawn here and receiving of healing, receiving mm-hmm. restoration of the journey. From the, I think the journey we've been on and the authority now we carry, mm-hmm. People who have went through similar things are coming and receiving of that. Resounding comment from everyone that came was they just couldn't believe the hospitality and the community of Via, which is really beautiful.
Yeah,
and I think it's hard when you live in it, you don't realize how exceptional it is.
Yeah.
But I think this is such a gospel-formed community. It is drawing people in. So we had a few people from the Upper Midwest, Bishop Stewart's Church, Michael McKinnon, Father Billy Gaines from the ACNA in Spokane, some Edmonton people from Vancouver, pastor from Regina came and just felt like this was community for them.
Yeah.
And so we've been in contacts over the last even week and a half since then, trying to increase relationship and unity.
Yeah.
And so it's just the hand of the Lord.
Yes.
I don't think we did anything but invite people.
Yeah.
Didn't think anyone would actually come, to be honest, because it's a distance for some of them.
Yeah.
And they came and encountered Christ and encountered healing.
Yeah.
And so, it's just fun to see the season change. And when you can walk people into greater levels of healing and restoration, you can look back on the pain and the sorrow of your journey and go, okay, that's all worth it, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the heart of the death resurrection theme that we've been in through Lent and Easter, is that it's worth going to the depths of death in order to taste of resurrection life, so you can find others who are in that death season and know how to lead them into glorious resurrection. So we're doing that as an organization, and we're also doing that as individuals in our city.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try to keep going with these, maybe every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that's scheduled.
And then who knows what the summer brings, because it's the summer. But we are going to try to get more information out to people, just so that we can actually take some of these concepts that we get to introduce on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But there's something a little bit more helpful to hash out practicalities
totally.
That you just don't have time to do on a Sunday. So that's kind of the purpose here. So a couple things to remember. With mission, what we want to do is try to encourage people that in being yourself, you're sharing Christ in you.
Mm-hmm.
So being yourself is not sharing you. You're still sharing Christ. You're sharing Christ in you.
Yeah.
So be yourself, invite people, have them come to some things, get them around your house and your kids and just love them. And then use your summer really well.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's great.
Be excited for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
and have your eyes open.
Yeah.
I think that was something that we all just need to continue to ask the Lord to open up our eyes to the people who the Lord's placed providentially around us, because it's easy to miss. I found that to be something that's really been sticking with me, is that just asking goes along with resurrection themes, that the Lord would begin to open up our eyes to our opportunities into the things that He's doing.
Agreed. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, and we'll close with this last thing, which is June 9th is going to be the family barbecue at Pavan Park.
Yes.
I actually think this is a big deal for inviting people because as we've been learning as a church to have fun together, our volleyball tournaments are a riot.
That's true.
Like, we're pretty good.
Yeah, we are quite good.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, so make that a priority. Come out to that.
Yeah.
Play some sort of a sport, and then eventually we'll be inviting everyone in the city to try to take us on.
That's right.
True. That's how
that's
this
a
works.
Challenge. That is.
Exactly. Losing
if
to...
you think you're better.
There it is.
Yeah, we'll trash talk him into the kingdom.
Yeah, the gauntlet has been thrown.
Horseshoes? You think you're good at horseshoes?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
You might not be.
Awesome.
All right, that's all we have. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you guys.